This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Bishop Fenwick head football coach Dave Woods. And we're continuing our series with North Shore football coaches to get their backgrounds, playing backgrounds, coaching backgrounds, and influences, and so on. So, Dave, first up, welcome. Summer's coming to a close here.
It is, yeah, a few days away. Thanks for having us on again, Bill. It's always great.
And, of course, we're talking prior to the start of the August 18th first practice date for high school football players here in Massachusetts. And, Dave, we're starting with a very elementary question, if you will, if you pardon the pun, I guess, a little bit, on what was the first experience you had with football, whether seeing a football, tossing a football around, or kind of getting inspired by football in some way? It doesn't have to be organized football, but where did your interest in football begin?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Stoneham, and I started playing Pop Warner football just like all my friends, and we all fell in love with it right away. So we played a good 5 years of Pop Warner before we got to high school. And again, those guys I grew up playing Pop Warner with are still my friends today. So it's a lot of great connections.
All right, we'll move right from there on to Stoneham High School. So tell me about that and how that all played out. You're stepping into the hallways of Stoneham High and then out onto the field there. What was that? Give me some stories about that.
Well, so my playing career at Stoneham High was very interesting. We didn't have very good teams, and my senior year we got a new coach, and everybody was kind of excited about it. Tom Kasperzak. And Tom went on. I ended up coaching with Tom at Stoneham and at Reading High, and Tom was a great guy. But we didn't win one game my whole high school football career. We had three straight seasons without a win. So people ask me all the time, how in the world did you get into coaching when you guys never won a game? But I think that could be the reason why. I think it taught us a lot about resilience and how to never give up and just keep fighting. And our senior year was a lot of fun. Even though we didn't win a game, Tom came in and really turned the program around and really taught us a lot of great lessons.
You know, it is funny because you think back, Dave, to recent Stoneham history, and they've been a force, albeit in what, Division 5? But what are they, 4, 6? Whatever division they've been a force for sure. And playing in that tough Middlesex league. So that was not an easy league to be playing in. So I can understand that a little bit. But yeah, that's a funny story as well. My question is, so how you're on a losing team like that? And then you went on to go to Lowell to play football after high school.
I did. Right. Yeah.
Well, before you take me there, Dave, was there a real low point? I mean, we're talking about not having wins. Was there a real low point for you, for the team rather, or the program during that time, your senior year or whatever it might have been?
I would say, sure, our senior year, crazy, bring me back all this, Bill.
This is...
My senior year, so we've gone 2 years without a win, and my senior year we don't have a win, and we're playing Reading on Thanksgiving, and they're pretty good, so that's going to be a stretch to win that one. And we have Winchester the game before. We take the opening kickoff, we go down, they stop us on the one-yard line. Then we get a safety, and it stays 2-0. We're ahead 2-0 the entire game. They got the ball midfield with like 30 seconds left. We stop them on downs. Game over. All we got to do is run the clock out. We win, and we fumbled. They recovered, and they threw a Hail Mary with 6 seconds left, a 50-yard touchdown with 6 seconds left, and we lost 6-2. So I would say that was the low point of our playing career for sure. That was a tough one to swallow. I remember being in the huddle with my friends saying, we did it. We finally did it. We broke the streak. We're going to win a game. Wasn't to be.
Oh, man. I don't know how you survived all that, Dave, to be quite honest with you. It's funny, in these interviews, it's amazing the stories we're hearing from coaches, because I have just the flip side of that from Saugus coach Steve Cummings, who was a player at Marshfield, and they beat Hingham in a game, I guess it was a Thanksgiving game, in an even probably more crazier way, but very similar is what you're talking about. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nuts. And Manny Marshall was the head coach at Winchester, and it was actually his 100th win. And I can still picture Tommy, the kid ended up playing at BC, carrying him off the field, and we got our heads down walking off the field. That was a tough one.
Oh, man. Well, I'm hoping these stories get better for you, Dave.
My coaching career was a lot better than my playing career. I'll say that.
That's funny. Oh, man. So tell me about the transition. I mean, how does a kid from Stoneham High, a winless Stoneham High team, go on to play college football a bit? So, Dave, tell me about that.
Yeah, so one of my coaches, Dick Burnham, was a teacher at the school, and he set up a bunch of interviews. Coaches came in to talk to me, Norwich coach and Bridgewater State, and the U Lowell coach came in, and I just fell in love with them, and I looked like a place I would like to play, and I knew a couple of guys that were there, a lot of Merrimack Valley guys up there at the time, and so I, that's where I ended up at U Lowell, and it was fun 2 years.
Tell me, do you have a note or two, a game note from Lowell? Where did you play at Lowell? What positions and so on?
Yeah, so I played inside linebacker, which was different. I'd never played that. And I want to say my sophomore year, we had a mixed schedule. We played four Division II schools and five Division III schools. And we won all the Division II games, and we lost all the Division III games. So we ended up 4-5, but we beat all the Division II schools. And we had a great game out at Springfield. We won real late on a field goal. That was a lot of fun. And it was definitely a different experience playing college football than high school football, especially in the mid-'80s. But it was a lot of fun.
Well, let me just circle back, because I didn't ask you this. Where were you playing at high school? What positions were you playing there?
So in high school, I played tight end and a defensive end, and then I was kind of like an outside linebacker. And it was that Winchester game where they moved me to inside linebacker, and that's where I was from there all through college. Yeah.
All right. So now your days are over at Lowell playing football. So how does Dave Woods get into coaching football? What's the step or two that has to happen for that to happen?
So when I graduated, Tom Kasperzak asked me to come back and coach the freshman team, and I told him I was going to play in college, and he said, okay, great. And then the next year, he called me again, asked me to come back and coach. I said, I'm still playing in college. And then the third year, he called me, asked me to coach, and he said, wait a minute, let me guess, you're still playing. And I said, actually, I'm done playing, so I'd love to coach. So Coach Kaz asked me to come back, and I coached 2 years of the freshman football at Stoneham in the late 80s. That was my start.
Do you would know this, Dave? Is it his son that was the basketball coach at Reading not too long ago, or am I wrong on that?
Yeah, no, that was his son. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Basketball coach. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, I got that.
And he's got a grandson now that's playing football at Danvers.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Obviously, that was a great name, football name, Kasperzak, and other sports as well. You're right. So then from Reading, where did you go?
So at Reading, that's where I met Skip Bandini, and Skip went on. Skip got a head coaching job at St. Clement High School, and so I went and coached with Skip for 1 year at St. Clement, and then Tom Kasperzak actually left Stoneham and got the head coaching job at Reading, and Skip and I both left St. Clement's and went to Reading with Kaz for a year, and then Skip got the head coaching job at Don Bosco, and I went with Skip to Don Bosco for 4 years. We were together for 4 years at Bosco, and then the school was getting ready to close, so we kind of went separate ways. Skip went to college, Skip went to coach on to coach in college, and that's when I met Al Costabile and came to Bishop Fenwick.
Oh, yeah. And Al Costabile went on, what, to Shawshin, right? We're very successful there, too, right? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he's still the AD and football coach there, and they played in the Super Bowl last year. It would have been great. If we could have got there, we would have been a matchup with us against them. It would have been fun.
Well, you know, Dave, so now you're at Bishop Fenwick, and as we noted, or will note in the text here, 26th season, I believe we wrote, starting at Bishop Fenwick. So, you know, let me ask you this, a question about your coaching. You know, you had these great coaches that you worked with, but, you know, since, you know, 26 years is a couple of decades and a half here, right? And so how do you feel you have evolved as a coach, and in particular a head coach, over those years?
Oh, yeah, we've changed a ton. You have to adapt with the times. You know, some of the, back in the day when you just, tell kids do it, and because I'm the coach, I told you to do it. That's it. That really doesn't fly anymore, which probably wasn't a great method to use anyway. So now it's really a lot of explaining, so kids understand why we're doing things, and you have to involve the parents and things too, and just so everybody understands, you know, you have the kid's best interest at heart, and you're trying to do what's best for the individual kid, but also for the team. And we've also changed style of football over the years. You know, we resisted going to the spread for a long time, but probably 2010, we changed from like an I team, or we were an I team, then we were a wing T team, and then we went to the spread probably around 2010. So again, there's a lot of changes, a lot less contact. You know, like everybody, we used to have full live contact every day at practice, and now we really don't have live contact at all until Friday nights. So a lot of changes, but again, we love coaching. I love coaching, so you have to adapt. And I know a lot of coaches who didn't want to adapt and couldn't adapt, and they're not coaching anymore. They got out of it. So,
but you know, you're right. You are right, Dave, to mention that if you have the interest of the kids at heart, the relationships with the parents should be pretty good. You know what I mean? Sure. You will get a rogue parent. I'm just guessing it's possible. But for the most part, though, I think if you have everybody's best interest, and that works for everyone in a school, if you have the best interest of the students and the student athletes in this case, then things can come together. But it's a lot of work to do that. That's a lot of communicating, but it's worth it in the end of the day. You're right.
It is. It's a labor of love. It's a lot of ton of work, but that's the reason why we coach, and that's what makes it so rewarding and so much fun. Is you get to know kids, get to know their families, their brothers, sisters, their parents, and you know, I'm sure other coaches have said the same thing. Some of the best parts of coaching are guys that come back to play 10, 15, some of them even 20 years ago, and you're still close with them, and you know you still can go out with them, have dinner, go to their weddings, go to their kids' communions, all kinds of things. So that's the best part of coaching for sure, the relationships you make with the families.
I've been asking this question near the end of the interviews, but I'm going to ask it for you now, Dave, because I do want to touch on a couple of things, a couple of key games or big games you had at Fenwick over the years, because it always seems to me every year you have a crazy wild game or two, but I'll get to that in a moment. Let me ask you this, since it's about, we've been talking about coaching and coaching influences. Is there been a key game or two or three that you watched, whether it be on television, a pro or college game, game you're at, a game you played in, coached in, or like I said, scouted, something like that?
Yeah.
What about an impactful game or those games? Can you pull out a couple for me?
Yeah, I know it's tough to narrow it down to one game, but
feel free to expand it to beyond one. Yeah.
So I would say my playing days, again, that Winchester game and the experience of that whole season with Coach Kaz and with all my friends, that was very impactful for me. That really gave me the love of football. That showed me what a team can form, how a team can form into a family and fight through tough times. And so that was definitely impactful as a player. And then as a coach, I would say my first year, we weren't really picked to do anything. We were 500 the year before. I was named the coach literally 4 days before the season started. And we went out and we played St. Bernard's, who was returning Super Bowl champ. And we tied 0-0 in a rainstorm, and we beat them in overtime 6-0. Henry Breckenridge. Henry caused the fumble and recovered the fumble on the 1 yard line, and then we punched it in and we won the game. It was That was a pretty impactful game, and the thing I remember most about that game is the bus ride home, back from Fitchburg with those kids who were just having so much fun and just loved playing football and loved each other. That really, I think all the coaches on the staff and all the guys that played on that team, they'll never forget that game and that feeling of just the joy that those guys had. It was a lot of fun.
Share with me a note or two, if you could, on, you mentioned bus rides. This hasn't come up in any of my previous interviews with the coaches, but what are bus rides like? I mean, I think we can imagine what a winning bus ride is like back home, but what about a long bus ride after a loss?
So it's funny, I don't ride on the bus anymore. These coaches go on the bus. But back in the day, and I was, again, I was a much different coach. You know, we won a game. It was a lot of fun. The bus ride back was a lot of celebrating, a lot of singing, just some crazy stuff. And if we lost the game, you could hear a pin drop on the bus. And that was just a, kind of the attitude of our guys, that they took it very, very hard. And they put a lot of time and a lot of effort in. And when they lost, it hurt. And there was definitely no reason to celebrate after any losses. But again, the last few years, I don't ride the bus. I take my truck. I put the equipment in my truck, and I go behind the bus. So I'm a little too old, I think, now to ride on the bus. But the assistant coaches go on the bus, and I think it's similar. You know, it's pretty quiet on the ride there. And if we lose a game, it's pretty quiet ride home, too.
Exactly. Yeah. I want you to pull out a few games. You mentioned your very first game coaching, but, you know, it seems like, Dave, over the years, Fenwick always has had these a couple of really wild, crazy games during a season. And it's hard to rank a few of those, but can you pull a few of those games out for us? I mean, they're games you've had, like even last year, I think in the playoffs, you had one, if I'm not mistaken. But tell me about, yeah, exactly. So tell me more about a couple of those games.
Sure. It seems like every year we play St. Mary's. It's a crazy game. I mean, we went to overtime 2 years ago and lost on a conversion, and then we went to double overtime last year and won. So the games with St. Mary's, I remember Matt Durgan's very last game as the head coach. We were not a great team. We were a bunch of freshmen. I think we were 4-7, and they had a real good team, Calvin Johnson, and we took the lead late in the fourth quarter, and they were driving with under a minute, and they fumbled, and we recovered. But we had lined up offsides, so we gave them the ball back, and they scored a touchdown and beat us, like, last second. And I remember talking to Matt after the game, and it was just a great, great atmosphere. It's so much – what a great game. And I said, you're going to miss all this, aren't you? You're going to miss games like this. And Matt was done. He just he shook his head. He's like, no, I'm not going to miss it. I'm all set. But, again, every year, it seems every time we play St. Mary, something crazy happens, and always fun games.
You know what? Let me ask you, let me follow up on that piece. You're right. Matt Durgan seems very at ease with not coaching right now. You know what I'm saying? But others, you know, other coaches, you know, just keep going like yourself, Dave. And there's nothing wrong with that, because if you have the passion and the energy, as you obviously do, why not keep coaching, right?
Yeah, I don't know what I would do. I drive my wife crazy. I drive her crazy the other 9 months of the year, so I don't know. But I read something about Belichick the other day, that when he was in his 50s, they asked him how long he'd coach, and he said, I'm not going to be like Marv Levy coaching until I'm 70, in my 70s. And now he's 71 and still coaching, so it's definitely something that's hard to walk away from if you really love it. And why would you? It's rewarding still, and hopefully I still relate to the kids a little bit. Probably not as much as I used to before, but for the most part, everything is still pretty enjoyable. But Matt, yeah, I talked to Matt. Matt is definitely, I think, again, there's a lot that goes into it, and there are a lot of frustrating parts about it. So I can see, you know, Matt's point of view, saying, you know, Matt's a great guy. He was a great coach, and I'm sure he's at ease with his decision for sure.
No, absolutely. Dave, we've also asked this question here, too. And so here you are, you know, as we record this, just a handful of days before the first practice. And so what's top of mind for Coach Dave Woods right now regarding Bishop Fenwick football? What is it that you're concerned about today about Fenwick football, getting ready for the 2023 season?
Sure. Who's going to coach the offensive line? We just had a coach who just got a job out in Marlboro, and he's not going to be able to coach. We just found out last week. So the top of my mind right now is, how are we going to fill that slot? Who's going to coach the offensive line? And the other, you know, the other thing that's always the case is, you know, how are the kids going to respond day one? How are they going to get along? We just, just yesterday we had a cookout at my house with the whole team, and all the kids were there, and they're a great group of kids, and they all had a blast in the pool and eating hamburgers and hot dogs, so we had a lot of fun. So it's going to be a good group of kids for sure.
Let me ask you this. How much food do you have to get for a cookout like that, Dave?
It was a lot. And then about halfway through, my grill died. Oh, I had to get my mother-in-law's grill. It was a nightmare. But, excuse me, we we made it work, and just about it. Just about everything got eaten.
I would imagine, yeah. I'm victim of the grill going out drill once or twice, once a year maybe, or every other year maybe, something like that. Absolutely, yeah. You got to get that gas filled up. That's what you got to do. Yeah. Well, Dave, is anything else kind of stand out? I'll leave it with a closing comment from you, you know, that you think about as a high school coach or as a coach that has evolved over the years as you have. Anything else kind of stand out to you for coaching high school football?
Yeah, I think the one thing that stands out for me is how lucky I've been. I mean, I was so lucky to learn how to coach under three great guys from Tom Kaspersak to Skip Bandini and then Al Costabile. I learned a lot from all three of those guys. And then just to be the head coach at Bishop Fenwick, I mean, I can't imagine a better position, a better place. The people here are great, the administrators, the teachers, the parents, and then, of course, the kids. Every year, it amazes me. We just have great, great kids. So I guess the one thing I would sum up in my career is I've been very lucky, no question.
After high school, though.
yeah, after playing. Yeah, my playing days weren't so lucky.
But, you know, Dave, that is a funny, that's a great story, though. I mean, oh, man, I did not know that. And it's and those things do shape us. They have to shape us. You're right. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, Dave, thank you for your time, for your insights, the stories, and so on. And we'll be talking again soon. I believe we will. And talking more about the 2023 Fenwick team and so on and matchups and so on. But we'll talk again soon. Thanks, Dave, for all of your time.
Sounds great. Thanks, Bill.
Yep. Dave Woods, head football coach at Bishop Fenwick here with us. I'm Bill Newell on MSONewsSports.com.